Our help and our only expectation is also in this service, in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, we will continue by singing Psalter 186, and there are stanzas 1 and 2, 186, 1 and 2. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thou, O God, my cry. Let thy salvation come to me, and lift me up on high. Psalter 186, 1 and 2. It's only the first two stanzas. Oh, okay. You may be seated again. And I'll continue by the Apostles' Creed to confess that with the Church of all ages and times, of the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. Let us speak in our hearts thus. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, our selection of praise can be found again in the book of the Psalms, and this time it's Psalm 146, the first five verses. So you can find it in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 146. And thereof the first five verses. And there we read in God's holy and infallible word thus, and it's about praising the Lord. Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I'll sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, the son of Adam, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth into the earth, in the very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Let us turn unto the Lord in prayer. Most holy and glorious God of heaven, thou hast heard the part we have read from thy word, that all thy creation has to praise thee. And Lord, then we have to say that oftentimes we come so short of these matters. Even thy true people, they think so often of themselves rather than of thee. And Lord, then we have to say there is all kind of guilt before us. Or will thou truly bring that into our hearts that we may truly praise thee? This is what thou hast created in man, why man was created, and why man will enter the place where thou dwellest, heaven. The only reason is to praise thee. And Lord, and we have to say, it's often not found in us, not even in thy dear people, and even less in those who do not know thee. Will thou press it upon their hearts how they were created? They were created for good to praise thee, but they have fallen so deep that there is a praise of themselves, a praise of others, a praise of family, a praise of whatever they may say, but not of thee. Will thou remember those ones among us, those that might listen along, that it may touching their hearts to seek after a holy and infallible God, a God that has to deal with sin in the way of justice. And then we will hear in this second service that there is a way of escape. In all the misery that man is in, Lord, we heard last time, the man is so depraved that he cannot do one thing good. That thou art the holy God that must punish every sin. And then we will hear also in this afternoon how there is a way, how there is an escape, how there is a mediator found in the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, when we tremble before thee, when we know ourselves before thee, let those seek for thee with all their hearts, that they may also cry out for the mediator. Lord Jesus Christ, will thou mediate for me? Because I have an angry God, and it can never return without payment. Will thou redeem me, deliver me from all my evil with the price paid by thee? Lord, if that is true, then there will be a joy in the heart which is unspeakable. Yes, thy people know of those moments when they were sitting under the word, that they were drawn into it, that they felt the love of thee in their hearts, that they felt thy nearness and thy goodness in all things, that it was thy goodness they were not consumed yet, it was thy goodness that they were still alive, that thou hast not dealt with them as they deserve. But Lord, then they hear also about that escape in Christ, the price he has paid. When they hear that, they are so humbled in the dust that he was so willing to do it. He was able to do it. He was capable of doing it. And he did it. Not only promised to do it. Yes, in the volume of the book is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. But also coming down to earth to give his own life. And Lord, we are in the weeks of passion, whereas remember that thy one Son came to this earth specially to be crucified and to die. Lord, then we have nothing deserved, but the same has happened to him. When he was in the 3 hours of darkness under the severe judgment of thee, and that for thy dear people, not that there was anything found in them, but when they didn't hear that he did it willingly for them, oh Lord, that will burn their hearts. That will give them so much joy that they will forsake the world. Oh yes, then thou challenges again when the love is drawn away for a time. Then they know their own heart again that without thy grace they cannot do it. That they thought they could live on the gifts given by thee out of themselves, but they have to learn that every single gift is from God. Will that then also showed in this second service that it may be a drawing of Christ to those among us, whether it be for the first time or again, Lord, that our hearts may be like the man to Emmaus, that their hearts were burning when they heard about the Christ of the Scriptures, when he explained them all things. beginning at Moses, speaking of his sufferings, and that he had to die, but also that he was not a weak God, but he was a powerful God that rose again from the dead. He ascended up into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. We have just spoken from it of our confession, to come again to judge the quick and the dead. Those who do know thee may then enter into eternal glory, and those who do not know thee into a place of eternal suffering. May these two ways be proclaimed also in this service, that it might be dealt honestly with the souls. Lord, we have only one soul. We can only lose it one time. And if we lose it, Lord, then we can never gain it back. Let us deal honestly with our own souls, whether it's true in our hearts, whether we know thee or not. And if it's the latter, Lord, that we then seek for thee, that this service might be used for our good, for the salvation of sinners, for the edification of the saints. We ask thee also for all the work that is done in the congregation, whether by the consistory or the one preaching, will thou help them in all their duties, that it may be much on their knees in the work they do, not only in their homes, in the families or in other ways, but especially related to the things of the church, the things of those in office. Lord, sustain them with thy grace. Will thou grant them everything what they need, whether here or far away. Grant them thy favor upon their lives. Lord, go with us in this service. Bless all the means. We ask all these things in the forgiveness of all our sins, in the cleansing blood of Christ, and that for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll now sing of Psalter 362, the stanzas 1 and 2. 362, the stanzas 1 and 2. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea. And what follows? 362, the stanzas 1 and 2. Scripture reading out of the Word of God once more, and in relation to the external delivery, it's very applicable, and also in this time of the year, to read Psalm 22. And thereafter, verses 1 through 21, where it specifically speaks of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he underwent and what he has said. So in relation to the theme, we read Psalm 22, the verses 1 through 21, and afterwards we read of our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 5. So first God's holy word, and then the Lord's Day related to it. Let us hear with all reverence to what God has to say in Psalm 22, starting at verse 1. To the chief musician upon Aleph, Shehar, a psalm of David. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered, they trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All that see me, they laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, and they shake their head, saying, He trusted on the Lord, that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths, and as ravening and roaring lions. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they took and stare upon me. They part my garments among them, and cast upon lots upon my vesture. Let not be thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. So far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. And may the Lord bless his word, both in the reading and in speaking. And with this, we also find our text in Lord's Day 5 of our Heidelberg Catechism. It's found on page 31 of your Psalter. And then we begin with question 12, and we continue to question 15. And that's the second part of our Heidelberg Catechism, speaking about man's deliverance. So Lord's Day 5 is our text. And question 12 says, Since then by the righteous judgment of God we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, is there then no way by which we may escape the punishment and be again received into favor? In the answer, God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. Question 13. Can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? Answer, by no means. But on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. Question 14. Can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? And the answer, none. For first, God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man hath committed. And further, No mere creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin so as to deliver others from it. Question 15. What sort of mediator and deliverer must we then seek for? Answer, for one who is very truly man and perfectly righteous, and yet more powerful than all creatures, that is, one who is very God. So far, our Heidelberg Catechism, our Lord's Day 5. I assume that many of us have been in difficulties, and in those moments, what do we see? Well, if it is right, then there is a moment that we see we cannot help anymore ourselves. What do we then experience? We experience stress, hopelessness, and helplessness. And it's even a greater issue if this was because of our own fault. We probably knew it beforehand, people told us, and we still did it. What could we do at those moments? Well, we could only cry out to God, God, help me. And God heard and delivered. But what made you then cry out to God? Was it not that you saw there was a way, that there was a possibility? Why? Because God is almighty. He can do everything he wants. But also, he is powerful, merciful. He wants to desire to help. And that's why there was that crier. You saw hope for external delivery from God's side in your situation. And that's what we hear today as well. Man by nature is unable to pay God. Hopeless, as it were. But the hope is found somewhere else. And that's our theme as well. Hope for external delivery. And we have three different points in this time. First, a hope for payment. Second, a hopelessness in creatures. And third, the only hope in the Redeemer. So the hope for external delivery is our theme. Hope for payment. A hopelessness in creatures. And the only hope in a Redeemer. First, a hope for payment. We find in question 12 that this hope is expressed in a question. Read with me. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which you may escape the punishment and again be received into favor? The student says here, since then we deserve punishment. He acknowledges, I am guilty. I need punishment. And he agrees it's righteous from God's side. Both the temporal punishment and also the eternal punishment. But he doesn't stop here. He continues. He says, is there then no way to escape? Literally, he says, how would I escape? An escape, what is that? Well, that means we are in danger. We are in trouble. It can be a future danger or a current danger that you realize what's going to happen. Think about you would be in prison camp or in jail. You want to escape that punishment. You want to escape that state where you are in, the difficulty, so you want to get out of this place. Well, this is true for this student as well. He says, I'm, as it were, in prison camp and I want to get out. How do I get out? I'm actually seeing hellfire is coming. How do I get rid of that? So it shows that he seeks for a possible restoration. Yes, he has expressed in ourselves, there is no way out. He says in question 8, the previous time, we are totally depraved. There's hopelessness in self. But if it's totally hopeless, he would never have asked this question because it would end in despair like a Judas. He saw no way out. What did he? He hanged himself. But it's not only to do about escape. It's also to do about relationship, the restoration of this relationship, but through a way of justice. To again be received into favor, the student says. What is favor? Well, you may also translate the word with grace or God's kindness. It means God's wrath will be satisfied. God will be happy again. He can look again the person into the eyes. And same with parents. Sometimes parents have to be angry with their kids. And children know that. Parents are angry. But once they have punished the child, the wrath of the parents is satisfied. They can look the child into the eyes and the other way around. And that's actually what a student asks. How can I look again God into the eyes? Let us apply this part of our Heidelberg to ourselves. A couple of things we need to ask ourselves. First, is there an acknowledgement with this student of our guilt and punishment? Have we seen it as just? Oh yes, it's so difficult to acknowledge. God has so much work to convince a human being that he is right and that man is sinful and guilty. You've seen in the previous Lord's Day, man tries all different ways to get out of this punishment. Is it not God? Am I then really so bad? And then here God brought the student to the point, I want you to be there, dear friend, to see you're guilty. And the man tries different ways, he said it. But here he seeks a way of escape in an honest way. Why is that? Because he sees danger. He still knows, I need to get rid of it. There's that guilt, there's that sin, and I need to have that paid. Second question we might ask is this. In all these possibilities, what the student saw and what we have seen, if it's right, did we also see a way of escape? Oh yes, at the beginning, when God begins to work, we see so little of our sin, and we see so little, even nothing, of any escape. And some are led further, they only see a moment that it's impossible to be saved by self and nothing more. The maiden asks, have you never seen a way of escape, dear friend? Oh, if that's you, ask then God that you may see that. Because if it's truly from God, he will show also a way of escape. And such ones begin to ask with the student, is there a way of escape? Can I reach a point where I can say I've escaped danger? Is there any possible payment found here or there? Another question important to ask is, if you are in that way, why do you want to escape? Why do you want to escape? Is it only because of the judgment and the punishment of God? Many want this. You hear no one wanting to go to hell. They only want to go to heaven because it saves their lives. And if it's from God, if it's God's working in the heart, this can be in the heart as well. But there is more. What do we read? To be received into favor with God. Is that what you seek for? Is it the favor of God you're seeking for, dear friend? What does it mean? You want to be right with God, to look him back into the eyes. That's what you're looking for. To see God without fear and without that sin. Do we know about it, this? It's an important question to answer, dear friends. Yes, how to escape? How to receive that favor possible? And then the answer says, in answer 12, by a complete payment. It says, God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction, either by ourselves or by another. Yes, God will have his justice satisfied. That means if God wants it, there might be a possibility. But it's by payment. You say, is it maybe a half payment? I can pay half of it and then I'm free. No. Is it maybe payment of some sins? No. The answer says it's full payment. We must make full satisfaction. A complete payment. It means every single sin has to be paid for. Yes, the original sin we got from Adam, but also every actual sin we talk about, every thought we have, every deed we have, every word we speak. And the student here sees an infinite mountain of guilt standing before him and God. And that's why he asks, is there then maybe a payment? How does that payment look like? Well, the payment must be perfect. He must compensate God for what he has done wrong. If we have done something wrong to a person, we have to compensate the other party. But he also must undergo the demand justice, the punishment. The demand must agree with the nature of sin. What does that mean? Well, if you have a certain sickness, the result will always be dying. Think about cancer. Some people might have had it. What does it do? It does a lot of wrong to the body. The result is that it breaks the body. That's the nature of cancer. Well, the nature of sin is death. That's what is related to it. That's related to that punishment. Then the answer is, the question is, how can we pay? Well, the answer here says, either by ourselves or by another. Let me give an example. Maybe many of us have driven on the road a car and maybe even speeding. And then what happens when the police comes? He sees you speeding too much and he pulls you beside the road. And what does he do? He gives you a ticket for speeding. And now you have a ticket. What can you do with it? Well, you can either ask your parents to pay for it, who are maybe richer than you are, or you can pay it yourself. The police officer doesn't matter. He doesn't care who's going to pay. He only cares about you speeding, giving you a ticket. Well, this we may apply in a sense to this as well. Whether it's paid by another or by ourselves, in the eyes of God, in a sense, it doesn't matter, humanly speaking. If it is paid, yet paying by yourself, what does it mean? This is true for those who now suffer in hell. Infinite. Eternal. Can it be otherwise? Yes. That's what we hear in the coming questions. Or it can be done by another. And that's a glimpse of hope. Might there be someone? Let's seek further in the catechism. But let us first apply these matters to our hearts. Because how do we think about salvation? No, not only just salvation, but salvation through justice. That God has to justify, satisfy his justice. Is that our offense? Or is it something we desire? And the true believer may say the latter. He doesn't want to be saved in an unjust way. And what is that full satisfaction then? What is that full payment? That's death. Why is that? Well, God had said it. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we said that already, it agrees with the nature of sin. That's what sin continues to work. We speak about a threefold death. So three different aspects, we may say, of death. The one is spiritual. That means we are separated from God's communion. Like people live on earth, but they don't see God anymore. They don't talk to him anymore. The second type of death is physical death. And every one of us will undergo it. They mean separation of body and soul. Soul to one place, body to another. And we talk also about eternal death. That means body and soul are both completely removed from God's favor and from God himself. If you realize this, my friends, do we not tremble? Who does not fear physical death if we think through? Even Paul said, this is the last enemy. Isn't it even more that eternal death? And dear believer, came the question then up into your heart, how can I get satisfaction? Did you not ask ever, can I pay myself for this? Did you even thought about maybe not self, maybe someone else? Where can I find it? And there is, we will hear that. But those who do not know this, let's just count for a moment all your sins. If you maybe lied in the past week, if you had maybe one wrong thought about your neighbor, maybe you've desecrated the Lord's Day. Let's say you take one sin a day, and that's even less than its reality. How many sins do you have in a week? You say 7. How many sins would it count if you counted a whole year? 365. And then count all those years you're alive. Maybe it's 15. Maybe 30. Maybe it's 80. It's a mountain of sin. And one sin a day, we do much more. And each sin, God says, deserves eternal payment. Do you think you can do it? If you don't repent, that will happen. You have to. A mountain to pay, guilty before God and impossible to do. But is there maybe someone else that can pay for that? Yes, let us listen for that. There is a restoration. If there is a possible payment, is it maybe possible with other creatures? We'll first hear that it's hopeless with any other creature. Our second point, a hopelessness in creatures. Question 13 says, can we ourselves then make this satisfaction? And the answer says, by no means, but on the contrary, we daily increase our debt. That means, can we then pay ourselves? And the answer, interestingly, says, with nothing in the original. You can pay with nothing. Christ said it already. Who can give something in exchange for his soul, for the payment of his soul? It means there is a problem. It means we can never escape and never restore ourselves. Yes, it gets even worse. In the catechism, it goes even deeper. It says, on the contrary, we daily increase our depth. Not pointing to original sin, but the sins we do daily. And each of them, we said, needs payment. And let me give an example. Let's say you're in the house. And you're not able to pay the house for 1 month. And the next month, you have the same issue. Would then the debt on the house not increase? Until you reach a moment and that the man is so tired of you of not paying that he kicks you out of the house. You can't pay. And that's exactly what happens here. It's as it were, you rent and you increase in the guilt every day. You're not able to pay. And interestingly, it doesn't speak here about sin. Although that's true if we increase our sin every day. But it speaks about guilt or debt. Like, not the lack of payment of the house, but that the debt on the house increases. And some might ask, and that's a very good question, does this even increase in hell? The Bible is silent about this. But logically speaking, I would say the answer should be yes. Because people never glorify God anymore, and that's sin. But then you may say, what is a debt? What is that? Well, you are then under obligation to pay or to be penalized, to be punished for it. Do we see, dear friends, that here everything in self is cut off? Nothing is left. Congregation, have we not learned not only that we do sin, but that we have no payment in self? Oh yes, in the beginning when the Lord begins to work, we will try to pay all what we owe to God. We say, Lord, have mercy on me, I will pay you all. But later in life, you saw that you cannot pay. You cannot even pay one thing. And then you cannot escape that guilt anymore. And it only gets worse. It increases every day. And every deed you do, and every thought you think, and every word you speak. Have you learned that, congregation, that the debt increases every day? And not being able to pay? What a difficulty. If you're in that period of time, then we feel so oppressed. If you've experienced that, then we say at one moment, Lord, it goes all wrong in my life. How can I ever be saved? Has all hope in ourselves be cut off, congregation? Or was it still any possibility in self? Oh, my dear friends, we need to know this principle. There's nothing of ourselves we can bring. The true ones. Yes, it's true that God teaches one different than the other. But this is a principle God doesn't skip. And trembling soul. Maybe you say, this is exactly my heart that declares who I am. I experienced this. Everything goes wrong. May I then encourage you. This is God's work. Why? Because God wants to receive all the honor. He wants to see that it is a wonder to be saved. If you think you had any hope in self and then would go to the Lord and the Lord would save you, would it be a wonder? No. Would then the Lord receive all the honor? No, because you did something as well. And that's why the Lord brings so low that there is no hope in self, that you seek it outside yourself. Keep seeking, dear soul, because the Lord will give a way of escape. What is that way? Is it maybe in any other creature? As we find in question 14, let's listen to that. Question 14 says, can there be found anywhere one who is a mere creature able to satisfy for us? It shows that this person doesn't look any longer to himself, but he looks around himself for any possibility. Is there maybe somewhere else something I can find? Is it maybe any creature, mere creature? No, he doesn't say anything in creation. That means he would be able to pay with silver or with gold. But this speaks about a creature, a living creature. Does he think maybe about another human being that might be his neighbor? Likely not. If you look at the answer, it speaks about another type of creature. It means, is there maybe an animal that can pay for me? Is there maybe an angel in heaven that would be able to do that? But it is problematic. And the answer says, no. There is none. No mere creature is able to do it. It includes no animals, no angels, and no other common human being. There is no one, one commentator said, that stands between God and creation. But it doesn't say no human being at all. We'll hear that later. But what is the reason that no human being can pay or no other creature? Well, the Catechism says God will not punish any other creature for the sin which man has committed or man has indebted. It means God is not going to transfer the guilt and the punishment of man unto an animal or angel. But now you're very surprised and you say, but wait a minute, do I not read in Leviticus and all the Old Testament, they had all those laws and sacrifices and animals to be sacrificed before God for paying of sin? Good question. Great question even. But it was not to pay the debt. But do we read in Hebrews 10 verse 4, For it is not possible that with the blood of bulls and of goats, for of animals we can say, that they should take away sins. But what is it for? Well, it was pointing to the sacrifice that would come, Jesus Christ, and that there is salvation by His blood. Now you ask, why is it not able that God would transfer it from one to another? Well, the human nature required this. They is required to pay. We hear later exactly why that is the case. We can say this now already, that the soul that sinneth it shall die, Ezekiel says. Let me give an example. Let's say you have killed someone. You have to appear before God in court. And the judge is standing there and he has done research. You know exactly what you did. And there you stand. You're guilty. And then the judge sentenced you for lifelong being in prison. But then you acknowledge your guilt. You say, Your Honor, you're totally right, but here's my dog. Can he probably go to prison and pay for me? What do you think the judge would say? The judge would absolutely disagree with you. He said, you are a human being, that's simply a dog. You cannot transfer your punishment to the dog. And that for God as well. God will not punish the sin of man upon the animals or angels. But there's another problem as well. It says no mere creature, no common creature can sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath. To sustain, that means to able to bear, to endure. It shows, dear friend, that God's wrath is unbearable. Also for the people now in hell. Let it sink in. It's a burden. It presses down physically, bodily, spiritually, and it cannot be sustained by one creature. And there's even more issues. It speaks about eternal wrath. It means never ending. Forever in hell, there is no 1 second of rest. Think about those that have heavy pains on earth. And then to think to have never an end to it. And therefore they say, if a mere creature is not able to sustain the wrath of God, he's not even able to do it for someone else. Even not a sinless angel. Congregation, we see a couple of things here. First, that forever creatures are excluded. No neighbor, no parent, no dog, no cow. Let's not try to blame others for our sin. And they didn't sin, and God would not allow for it. That means the burden is on us, or we need the special creature, what we hear about. And second, that God's wrath is unbearable. Think about that. Think about this, that you're laying on the ground, and every single sin you have is like a stone of 100 pounds. And it would be put upon your body. You would be under it. And it's going higher and higher and higher How would you be able to be under that burden? You would feel uncomfortable. It would crush you, dear friend. Maybe there's someone here that struggles in life. Many burdens. It feels that he cannot bear it anymore. But dear friend, God's wrath is far more unbearable. Isn't that shocking? It's like if I would ask you if you have your body now and it would squeeze your body into 1 square inch. What do you think how that would feel? And it's even worse to undergo. If someone that remains unconverted, this kind of thing is the future. And there's no moment you are free from it. Why would you choose that, dear friend? But those that may belong to the Lord, wasn't that a question when you saw all this, that how can they escape? Wasn't it through another creature? You realize God's wrath is unbearable. You knew, Lord, I cannot bear this. You cried out, Lord, this is too heavy for me. You came to know, Lord, I see no way out. No one else can even pay. Then the question was raised, is there maybe a way? Is there means for deliverance? What is the answer? There is. There is a Redeemer. No, it's not a mere creature, not a mere human, but a very special one. And that's what we hear in our third point. The only hope in a Redeemer. And for this, we go to question 15. What sort of Redeemer and Deliverer must we then seek for? Do you see? This student keeps asking, is it still possible? What special creature do we then need? He heard there's no mere creature able. Is it maybe a special one? And the answer is, and we see in our question that it speaks about a mediator he's looking for. What is a mediator? We spoke about it last time in catechism class. It's one that stands between two different parties that wants to bring two enemies together. But it's necessary that this person is different from these two others that are enmity with each other. He must be a third person. And now you have a question. Because this mediator cannot be part of the offended party, man, and he cannot be part of the offended party, God, and he cannot be of the offender, man. Now the problem is, if God is offended, how can this person be God? You say, if Jesus Christ is the mediator, how can he then be God? Because he cannot be of the same being. Can it be the same person? Well, that's a very good question. But who is actually offended? Is it Christ? No, not in the first place. It's the Father of the three persons in the Trinity. He is offended. And he desires payment. And now there's a second person in the Trinity that wants to stand between God and man. It's a different person. Now you say, why is the mediator needed? Well, man has offended God by his sins. And who is this person then? No, it's not a thing. A thing cannot mediate between two parties. He cannot talk and speak. It's a person. It is Jesus Christ. How do we know? Well, the scripture speaks about this. They say, Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, Hebrews 12:24. This is the only one that can mediate. But does he only mediate? No. He also delivers, or as we may say it, he redeems. What is deliverance? Well, you deliver then a person from the greatest evil there is and bring him to the greatest good you can find. From a state of misery, as some say, to a state of salvation. But from what is man delivered? Well, that's from sin. It's from the consequence of sin, that's the punishment, and from the power of Satan. But deliverance in itself can be without payment, but not redemption. Redemption means you have to pay a price to secure the release of something else. So a price needs to be paid. And now that price has been paid, but now the question is, how is it then applied to the hearts of men? Well, that's by faith, work by the Spirit. The Spirit applies the redemption that is purchased by Christ unto his people. Dear redeemed friend, wasn't it a wonder that with all your guilt and with all your pain, there was a way out. What was that way? There was a mediator, one that could stand between you and between God. He could cover you before the sight of God. As he could even reconcile you to God, bring you back into a good relationship. There is one that did. And he paid a very high price for it, his own blood. Well, yes, you saw you needed to die, but he did. You saw you needed to be consumed by his wrath, but he did. But there was more. He also delivered, he set you free. Free from sin in God's eyes, free from the guilt in God's eyes, and free from the power of Satan. When you saw all this before your eyes in the preaching of in the reading of the word, what a joy. Then at such moments you desired to die. Why? To be delivered from all sin, to be delivered from self and from your flesh, to be with him, my Redeemer. No, you didn't work for it. It was given by faith and by grace. What a wonder. But what kind of Redeemer or Mediator is then needed to reconcile or deliver? Well, he needs to be a true human being. Answer 15 says, one who is very man and perfectly righteous. Notice the word one, what it means, one, not two. That means there's only one option, one possibility for a mediator. And this one person needs to have all the qualifications that are mentioned in our list. And there exists one mediator, the Bible says. That means there is no other. And the Bible says very clear, there is no other name under heaven given among men by whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. What does it then speak of two qualifications? Well, this man, one person must be man and God, both in one person. And we call this the two natures of Christ, the nature of God and the nature of man in one person. The first qualification is thus, he must be very man. It means a real human being. Beginning at conception, being born into this world, having parents, having both a body and a soul. Why, you say? Well, because man had sinned against God with body and with soul. And there's a problem. If the person will be only God, God cannot suffer. God cannot die. God does not have a body. So God would never be able to pay for that. Not even an angel. An angel, what does it have? Yes, it has a spirit, but not a body. So it cannot die with his body. Think about an animal. An animal has a body, so he does die. And some among us know that. But he does not have a soul. It means he cannot undergo God's eternal death. But this mediator has a body and a soul. He is perfectly human. But he also needs to be perfectly righteous. That's what we see further in our text. Righteous, that means you're either righteous or you're not. You're going to be half righteous. Either the judge may speak you free or he condemns. But why righteous, you say? Well, one that has sinned cannot mediate it for someone else. Someone that is guilty has first to pay for himself. And think about this, that you have a debt with a bank. And now there's a friend who really wants to help you, and he wants to be surety for you. But he has a problem. He has a debt himself with the same bank. Would he be able to pay for you? No, because he first has to pay his own debt. Only then he would be able to pay for you. So someone that has a debt himself cannot pay for another. And this real Redeemer, we can say from Scripture, he is without sin. And those among us that are redeemed by Christ, what was it to realize that Christ had to become human? You saw my human nature as sin, and the same human nature had to pay and had to be able to die. And now this Christ in his birth came to earth in his life and his work, all with the foreknowledge that he would die and that he would pay. And he did it willingly. Why? Because it was a love for his bride to be with her, to pay for her. out of eternal love. He said already in eternity in the council with the Father, Father, I will become human being to pay with body and soul for these persons. But you also realize he was perfectly righteous. His whole life on earth, he did the will of his Father. He loved him. He loved every single neighbor in the world, even his enemies. When he was rejected by them, he even prayed for them. And in the moment of faith, a true believer receives this righteousness. Why? That he might receive your guilt and your sin. We saw this, dear friend. Wasn't it that you were humbled in the dust? You cried out, Lord, what has moved thee to save me, such a sinner? But those who are not delivered, dear friends, there's only one deliverer, one Savior, and it's only for a period of time, and then there is no more possibility. He desires to redeem. You say, I struggle with many issues. He knows why. He was a human being. He had enemies. He had work. He had a family. Not his own family, but his parents, his siblings. May I ask you, with all your struggles, with all your unwillingness, can you appear this way before God? Dear friends, you cannot. You are totally unrighteous before the sight of God. But the problem is you don't see it. Ask then the Holy Spirit to give light from on high to show you. Then you need to see. Then you will see that there is a true, perfect human being that has paid for these things and that is able to take your sins and to bear them. And if that's worked in the heart, then you can say, oh, blessed Savior, he for me. Beg him then to show his righteousness and his goodness. But the question is, we've seen he is true human being. He's perfect human being. But only to be man is problematic. You remember that eternal wrath that no creature, no mere creature can have this? Therefore, this person must be also God. Answer 15 says, yet more powerful than all creature, that is, one who is also very God. He must be more powerful. That means that creatures in themselves are powerless. And important to think that Jesus Christ in his human nature was powerless. He was weak. He needed food. He needed drink. He needed sleep. He was a real human. But why was his power then needed, you say? Well, to be able to bear the wrath of God. No mere creature could have this. But also that he was able to raise again from the dead and to ascend into heaven by his own power. No human being can do that. Powerful than all creatures. Every type of creature that is mentioned in earth and in heaven, he has to be more powerful than Jesus Christ is. He has all power. He says it when he goes, all power is given unto me. The Bible also says, by him all things exist, are created, and continue to exist. It says that he upholds all of creation by the word of his power. What must he then be? He must be God. Very God. And there's only one who is this, who is both a human being and God. And that's what we find in Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born. God is not born, Christ is born. His name shall be called the Mighty God. And therefore the sacrifice of Christ is of infinite value. Why is that? Because he was a very God. The person was worthy being God. And at the depth of the punishment he has paid for, it was so deep that it can pay for the sins of all his people. Child of the Lord, what was it to see that Christ was both human and God? Yes, that's very difficult to grasp. Think about this. The nature of God has to sustain his human nature in the 3 hours of darkness on the cross. Have you stood there? What did you see? Jesus Christ, forsaken by the Father, drowning in the ocean of God's wrath. What did you see more? blood pouring out on all sides, blood pouring out of his head, on his side and on his hands and feet. Well, did you see more? That he was almost crushed, but then you also saw that his divine nature upheld his human nature, supported. And you could say, my creator, my sustainer, he hung there. And that for me. Oh, it was for my sins. It was for my guilt. He all washed and purged it away. And then you heard him say on that last moment, it is finished. Then the third day he rose again from the dead. That sealed that he was very God. And then he had paid in full. What did he do more? He sent his Holy Spirit into this earth to apply this payment to the hearts of his people. Oh, what a grace and what a mercy. Dear friends, we've heard in the previous Lord's days, much darkness, sin, eternal punishment. Today, the first glimpse of hope. Why? Because there is an external way. No hope in other creatures. No hope in self, not in animals. But finally, a hope found in a perfect Redeemer. He mediates between sinners and God. He's the one that redeems from sin. He needed to be true human and perfectly man. What a blessing. He needed to be very God to sustain his human nature. May I ask, what hope do we have? No, I'm not speaking about this life. But what hope do we have for eternity? We all are on our way to eternity, and there's only two ways. Either we have to bear God's wrath eternally, unbearable. My unconverted friend, flee the wrath to come. One more time, we can preach unto you, Christ has come, he bore the wrath. Will then reject his love? Will you reject his willingness? Oh, you will regret it forever, my dear friend. We plead with you, don't do it. There will be no more sacrifice for sin then. Come unto him. But the second way is also that those there are that will rejoice in God's mercy, also eternally. And in a sense we may say, even this is unbearable. What do we mean? Because the child of God is finite. But the love of God and the mercy of God and the holiness of God is infinite. And the child of God will drown, as it were, in the ocean of joy and of love. Always overflowing, never ending. That's why God's people need an eternity to praise him, to enjoy him. Child of God, keep your eye on that future. Keep your eye on that God. Then your cup will run over. Then you will see him, the one who has thought about it, the Father, the one who has bought and paid for it, the Son, and the one who has wrought it, that's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's now pray the Lord for his blessing. O God, may we come before thee after the proclamation of thy word. We've heard in this day that there is hope for man, that there is hope in an external Redeemer, one who is very God and very man, and that only in this way man can be saved. O Lord, we have also heard about two ways. Yes, by nature we are placed on the broad way, and we must be placed on the narrow way. Then we will have much strife and difficulties. But Lord, then the end will be sure. Thy people may rejoice in the day of thy power. Then they will be so willing to glorify thee forever. Go with us when we have catechism classes. Also when we then hope to go home in our different places. Keep us safe on the roads. Keep us safe in our homes, especially with this weather. Bless also those who could not be with us for whatever reason. Give them a blessing in their homes, in their places. We ask all these things in the forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now sing Psalter 120, and there are stanzas 1 and 2, 120, 1 and 2. Judge me, O God, of my salvation. Plead my cause for thee, I trust. Hear my earnest supplication. Save me from my foes, unjust. And what follows? Psalter 120, 1 and 2. May the grace of Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favor, rest upon us from above. Amen. We will have as the doxology 197 both stanzas. 197 as doxology.
His glory fill. Amen. So